When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Newell is taking cover from Friday the 13th, not venturing out or doing anything for fear of bad luck. No, I don't think that has anything to do with why he's not here today, but he's not here, and I am. I'm Dave Cohen, glad to be with you on this Friday the 13th. It's lucky for me because I get to spend time with you in the midday. I'm normally on from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Love to have you join me then. Folks are texting us on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talkin' Text Line at 504-260-1870 about some of the crazy superstitions that people participate in, believe in, take part in. One person says, I heard some crazy superstitions when I was in the Navy. In combat, I was told that a soldier should swap his undamaged helmet for one with bullet or shrapnel damage because it's already been hit, whereas an undamaged one, its day is coming. Okay. Now, this says actors say break a leg to other actors because saying good luck is bad luck. Somebody else texts us and says, I'm not superstitious at all. However, I have to say, I have noticed a pattern this season. Whenever I listen to WWL, to the Saints on the radio, they win. Whenever I watch on television, they lose. I can't explain it. Well, it seems pretty simple to me, Mike Haas. That means every single person should listen to your broadcast of the Saints game on the radio because that'll improve their chances of winning, right?
I mean, it is what it is, right? That's what happens. I mean, that's what that person said. So I feel like, you know, hey, look, let's do this. Let's try anything. I've tried everything. So, yes, let's listen in to Deuce and I and Bobby and Mike and Steve and Jeff Nowak and everybody.
In fact, turn your radio on. Turn your radio on WWL and listen to it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Never turn it off because it'll bring good luck to the Saints and everybody else.
I love it. I love it.
And it'll bring good luck to us because that means we'll have better ratings, sell more commercials, and we'll make more money.
There you go. Man, I didn't realize this was so simple.
See, there you go. Now, I really believe, and we'll talk about the Saints in a second, I really believe that most of these superstitions are people trying to defray blame for anything. They don't want to ever have anything be their fault, do anything wrong. So they're always looking for something to blame. Well, my mom's back broke because I stepped on a crack, not because I, you know, forgot to fix that threshold that she tripped over and fell down. I don't know. I just think that all of these superstitions are just people's way of trying to transfer blame and credit for things that happen around them and looking for explanations of why things happen when perhaps there really are no explanations.
I don't know. Deuce and I always say, you know, we're not very superstitious, but we spend a lot of time talking about it. we spend a lot of time going, I wore these socks. Can they want? I can't wear this top. Can they want? But we're not superstitious, but we're very careful sometimes. Let's put it that way.
Well, and a lot of people believe in the fact that the announcers can influence what happens in the game. Like if you say, this kicker hasn't missed a field goal under 40 yards in the last 800 attempts. And then, boom, right, he's going to miss it because you said that. Obviously, you're saying that had nothing to do with it.
I try to go the other way. I try, now I did say, I will admit, on Sunday that for the blocked kick, it was his first try because he'd been injured. He hadn't been playing, you know, a lot. And so it was his first attempt at 30 to 39, even 30 to 35. So I felt that was okay. But for the most part, I always go, this guy, you know, Young Weku never misses. He is about 8 for 8 on 40 to 49. He is good as gold.
So you try to put the gree-gree on the opposing kicker.
I try to flip it because I don't want, you know, if you do, you know, this guy, he's missed his last 4 from this distance. Yeah, it's going to be good. And so
do you really believe somewhere deep down that you're saying those things does impact what happens?
No, I don't believe it, but I believe that people say, well, you just said that he never misses from here. And so I think that people believe that there is some type of, whether they believe it or not, I don't think they like it. I don't like, you know, a guy has got a putt 3 feet and he goes, well, today he has not missed at all inside of 3 feet. I said, dude, don't say that. Right? Because as soon as he misses, whether you had nothing to do with it, of course they are. Dude, you should never have said that.
You just don't want the blame. All right, I got you.
Exactly is what people believe. I don't believe it has any impact, but I believe what people believe.
We're talking with Mike Haas. He's the voice of the Saints here on WWL and the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. And we asked him on not to talk about superstition on this Friday the 13th, but talk about the fact that the Saints have a game Sunday in the Superdome against the Washington Commanders. And it looks like they're not going to have their starting quarterback. And I don't think it had anything to do with luck. I think Derek Carr, I don't know if he lost track of the downs and didn't realize that it was only second down or not, but he threw himself out there. You got to applaud his valiant effort at trying to get a first down on a play that ended with him breaking his hand and suffering a concussion.
You're right. I mean, he's been a pretty tough cat. You know, I mean, there were only 9 quarterbacks who started all 17 games last year, and he was one of them. And he went out in 3 games with an injury. And so, you know, you can criticize, you know, there's no middle of the road for Derek Carr. Either you love him or you don't. But I don't think anybody can criticize his toughness. I mean, you know, what he has done and what he has given of his body for the team. So, yeah, you know, it was a big dive, and he wanted to make that first out. And I just know that when it was the Saints sideline and Deuce knew right away it was serious. And so there's a concussion and the hand. So yesterday, as you know, kind of, I wouldn't say kind of expected, because I kind of thought they'd just take it all the way to game time. They might know that Jay Kaner was going to be the starter, but I didn't know that they would say Jay Kaner would be the starter. So we'll have to wait and see. You know, things change, but yeah, it looks like it's going to get, you know, Jake will get the ball. He's been, it's a weird little, you know, his situation. Most of the time has been, you know, just kind of victory formation stuff, but he's been in 7 games, and he wasn't the guy that really was, you know. Spencer Rattler came in for the injured for Carr in those 3 games, but Haener came in the game that he got hurt in Kansas City. He did, you know, victory formations in weeks 1 and 2. He played in the Denver game when he came in for Rattler, throws his first touchdown, played in the Chargers game. So he's it's not that he hasn't been around. For a guy that is 14 of 29 on the year, it just feels like a lot, you know, for him to be in 7 games. So we'll see.
Yeah, you got to – I mean, last thing I'll say about Derek Carr in that run is 3rd and 1 would have been great in that situation. Step out of bounds, 3rd and 1 would have been fine. But that having been said, it is what it is. Carr apparently not available this Sunday. So Jake Haener, he's been in the system a couple years. The Saints drafted him a couple years ago. And there is some belief within the organization that he can be a starting quarterback in the future. I don't know about now, but so far as fans, we've really not gotten a real good opportunity to evaluate him.
No, he's a tough kid. I will say this. It was a great battle between he and Spencer all camp. I mean, you know, there was practice for the starters, for Carr to get with his receivers, which none of which are playing right now. So, and then there was this battle between Jake and Spencer, and it was real. It was when they got in, and it was, you know, the two-minute drill or whatever it was, you know, 11 on 11. Man, it was like a game time for them. I mean, they were pumped up. And so they were both competitive. I wasn't surprised. I think with the, when they looked at what they had post Kansas City with Derek out, and when they went with Spencer, I mean, they really could have gone either way. I felt like they felt he might give them a better opportunity with Tampa, Denver, and Los Angeles, but it was just a struggle, right? A struggle for him. He just, touchdown, a couple of interceptions.
He had so much of a banged up offensive line that there really wasn't a whole lot of time.
Right. He had 14 sacks. Right, 14 sacks.
Ouch.
Taysom was out some. I mean, it was tough. Two of the games were home. Two of the games were on the road at Denver, Tampa, and the Chargers. Actually, two of them were home at Tampa and Denver because Carr went out week five. So I don't know. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just so different. If you go, okay, well, here we are, week 15, and one of the most, every game's crucial at this point, and you don't have Rashid Shaheed, you don't have Chris Olave, you don't have Derek Carr, you don't have Taysom Hill. It is like, good gosh. From an offensive standpoint, you just got to have to me, the key to this game is really going to be the Saints' defense. They are going to have to keep this offense in the game. I don't know what we can expect from this offense. I just don't know, right? I felt like Ray Miller ran the ball well. I just don't know what to expect.
What are Haener's strengths? You got to see that battle in training camp when he was showing off as best he could to try and secure that number two spot. What does he do well? What should we expect to see Sunday, presuming it is Haener, as all these reports are indicating, Jake Haener starting for the Saints at quarterback? What are his strengths that maybe he can use to get some success?
He's very mobile. I mean, he will move around in the pocket. They'll do some of the bootlegs, and so he can, he's a running threat like Spencer was. He had a huge career at Fresno State. I think the hardest part for him will just be trying to slow the game down. And it's hard to do, or don't throw, not throw everything like a bullet, which is what we saw from Spencer early, because that's what you get, right, when you have these opportunities. I think his
the adrenaline's pumping. The adrenaline's pumping. You really want to do a great job,
right.
And maybe you put too much zip on the ball that your receiver's like, dude, throw me something I can catch, not something I have to dodge.
And so I feel like his job this week is, find my tight ends when I can, and this offensive line has to way better dictate offensively for a run game for Kendre and Alvin and Jamal, because it is crucial. This offense cannot be 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10. They can't beat themselves with penalties. They just have to stay, be smart, and that defense is going to have to keep them in the game.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that defense going up against Jaden Daniels when we come back. We know what Jaden Daniels does and does well, maybe not so much Jake Haener. So how can the Saints defense stop Jaden Daniels? Because he does a lot really well. We'll ask Mike Haas that coming up after this. The Voice of the Saints continues the conversation with us here on WWL. If you have a question or a comment for Mike Haas, feel free to call us or text us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line at 504-260-1870. Looks like Jake Haener is getting the start for the Saints. And we'll see in his first start for the black and gold what he's got and what he brings to the table as the Saints try to hold on to their very slim playoff hopes. Mike Haas, the voice of your New Orleans Saints here on WWL and the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, is our guest. We definitely know, we have a much better idea anyway, what Jaden Daniels brings to the table for the Commanders, as the Heisman-winning LSU quarterback has been on fire this season.
Yeah, he started out, and within like three games, they kind of exploded offensively. They've been very streaky, right? They've had a four-game winning streak. They've also had a three-game winning streak, and they've also had a three-game losing streak. They've come in losing three of their last four. They won their last game, and then they were open. They're like the third straight team to come in, after an open date or a mini bye. Cleveland was on a bye. The Giants were on a mini bye. And so Washington comes in, which week 14 feels like an enormously late open week. So, but, you know, they come in, but they're in a battle themselves. You know, still at 8-5, they can't really afford to, you know, give up much space. The NFC North and, you know, the South and the West are going to be pretty much whoever wins the division. But the wild cards are going to come out of the East and the North. So there's still a big battle there where that's concerned. And so, yeah, I mean, there's not much to, you know, he's come in. He's just been kind of everything the Commanders could want. I mean, he's rushed the ball, 6 rushing touchdowns. He averages 45 yards rushing a game. He's got 15 TDs, only 6 interceptions. So he's been, I will say, of his 6 interceptions, 4 have been in his last 3 games. So they are.
He's a little banged up. You know, he's been taking a lot of hits. I think they're trying to convince him because he's a slender dude. He is not, and he wears small pads, and he's a skinny guy. He's tall, but I'm always afraid he's going to literally get broken in half out there because he just doesn't have a whole lot of meat on the bones. He can run like crazy. He can throw with amazing accuracy and throw deep. Those little skinny arms sure have some power behind him, but I wonder, and you know, he has said in interview after interview that that's how he plays the game. He's not going to avoid contact. He's not going to slide. He's going to take a hit. And I just wonder if maybe it's taking a toll on him because those hits in the NFL are a lot harder than the hits were in college.
Right, but you see it. So in the first 5 games of his NFL career, he averaged 11 runs a game. So that's a lot. In his last 8, that average has dropped 5 to just 6 runs a game. So I think he's learning to be smarter, run when it's an advantage for you, not just to make it your first option. So just in those numbers alone, you can feel he is learning that his 6'4" frame, he's tall, but 210 pounds, you know, is not going to be able to sustain that kind of pounding, you know, week in and week out. I mean, he's young. He turns 24 on Wednesday, you know, coming up the 18th. So he did, you mentioned, he suffered a rib injury week 7 in Carolina, but he's made every start. And so they've had, you know, he's where it begins, and then it's himself and Brian Robinson and Jeremy McNichols that create this running game. When you put them all together, you know, they're the 3rd best rushing team in the NFL. Some of that was Austin Eckler who got hurt, but most of it is Brian Robinson, Jeremy McNichols, and Jaden Daniels at quarterback.
So what's your gut tell you about this game?
Well, I feel like defensively, the Saints got to get back to some dictation of the defense, and that, you know, the DeMario Davis turnover was great to see, and there were a couple of other opportunities.
And he should have gotten the touchdown, by the way, on that inadvertent whistle or whatever their crazy explanation.
No. He gave himself up. He really did. I mean, he gave himself up. He had no intention of popping up and running for the touchdown. He started running towards the sideline. He started, well, that's a different story. He started running towards the sideline, and then his teammates went, dude, just go to the end zone. What do you got to lose? And I think Rizzi felt the same way. He was like, I think Rizzi felt that he gave himself up, but he was like, what have we got to lose? Let's argue the point. So
hopefully next time he intercepts the ball, he just immediately starts running toward the end zone. Because in that situation, it was not advantageous to give yourself up and put the Saints offense back out on the field.
But there were opportunities for them to get their hands on the ball last week. And so that's what you got to do. If you look at where this defense was in the first, you know, part of the season. So from an interception standpoint, they went, and this is starting with week 1, 2, 2, 1, 1, 1, 3. So that takes us to week 6. And since then, 0, 2, no, I'm sorry. Since then, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 0, 1. So 3 picks since week 6. And so, and
well, they also don't have any of their starting defensive backs, right?
Right. Well, I mean, they've got, I mean, to me, you don't have Lattimore. But you've got, you know, to me, the starting backs are now all, you know, who they are.
Well, yeah,
it's Alonte, yeah. It's Kool-Aid, it's Will Harris. I mean, Ugo Amadi, Tyrann Mathieu. I mean,
Mathieu's still there. Yeah,
you got basically everybody but Lattimore, and that'll be another. You know, this will be his first game. Now, how is that just like typical or what? He gets traded, and then he's injured, and so he does not play until this game. This will be his first game coming back as he comes to New Orleans to play. So I'm interested to see how they play him. Right, so are they going to? To me, if I were Washington, I would put him on Marquez Valdes-Scantling and say, all right, the rest of you beat us, right? Cedric, Dante Pettis, Kevin Austin, the rest of you beat us. But that's not. I don't know if that's how Washington will do it. You know, if they play more of a zone, kind of sit back too deep and see what happens, I don't think that doesn't bode well into Marshawn's personal game. I think he needs to get that one-on-one, take the top receiver, and be engaged. So I hope we do see a lot of zone as opposed to him just following Marquez all over the field, because then it's going to be on somebody else. But I just believe that this Saints offense, with this offensive line, with finally everybody pretty healthy except Taysom, you got Alvin and Kendre and Jamal, your tight ends are healthy, man, you've got to run the football. That's it. You got to run the football offensively, shorten this game, and your defense has to come up with some big plays. That's going to make, they have to make some turnovers and get on top. And that to me is this game. Running the football, short passes for Haener, make it smart, don't get third and long. And this defense has to get in Jaden Daniels' face and force him to make some bad throws. Again, he's had three. You know,
and contain him, get in his face, right, but don't let him just then take that opportunity to run for 15, 20 yards.
Right, because, you know, if Drew Locke can do it, because if they come hard, you come so hard on the outside. Now, just because Drew Locke ran the ball well does not mean, because they will defend Jaden Daniels way differently than they defended Drew Locke. And so you're always going to be cognizant of his ability, whether that's a spy and you don't want to do that, but you know that Willie Gay has been kind of that guy in the past. They haven't done it a lot, so we'll see kind of what they do defensively. But I think you defend him differently, that you have to be more disciplined in your lane integrity, or he will take off and hurt you.
All right, the Saints, last time I looked, were 7.5-point underdogs, and that's at home.
I'm fine with that. We've been underdog. I mean, we were probably favored against the Giants. I don't really look into it, but we've been underdogs since I can remember. Since literally, I can't remember the last time. Probably back in the week four, Atlanta maybe a favorite, but other than that, since the streak started, yeah, they've been underdogs every week.
All right, well, we'll be listening to you tonight on Fans in the Pro with you and Deuce, and then Sunday calling the game here on WWL and the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Mike, thanks for spending some time with us on this Friday the 13th, and I know you're not superstitious because you've already said that, but you act like you are sometimes for the benefit of the fans. So,
I do what I can to help. I do my part.
We appreciate it. Mike, have a great weekend. Have a great show tonight. Have a great call on Sunday. We'll be listening to you.
Thanks. Don't forget the 7 o'clock prep, man. They'll be here at the Caesars Superdome. It'll be a great night, a great weekend of football here.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we had football yesterday, got football today, got football tomorrow, and then Sunday we got Saints football. Actually, you know, I got to do a halftime PA announcement in the Superdome a few years back during the Prep Classic, and that was one of the thrills of my professional life, was getting to announce a halftime show in the Superdome. So,
cool. Yeah. I love it.
All right. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Dude.
Have a great one. Mike Haas here on WWL. All right, I'm opening up the lines after this. We're setting out an early lunch buffet. If you want to throw anything into the conversation, you can. It can be about the Saints. It can be about the fact that it's Friday the 13th. But I'm also going to really want to talk more about this major problem we have now with criminals thinking it's okay to shoplift and they can get away with it. It's okay to flee from the police and they won't chase them and they can get away with it. And now all these policies with police, chase or don't chase, what are the right decisions and the wrong decisions? And do we have right answers? What we have is two dead teenage girls after a chase of three shoplifters from Metairie into New Orleans. Obviously, the criminals are ultimately to blame, but let's talk about the bigger picture when we come back after this as well on WWL. 1141, I'm in for Newell Norman. Glad to be here with you on this Friday. You know, a few years ago, as they were going through the consent decree, NOPD adopted new pursuit policies, as have many departments across the country. And word spread throughout the criminal community, both here locally and elsewhere, that police were chasing people less and less. The bad guys, and in this case, bad girls, seemed to achieve a common belief that all you had to do was create an unsafe situation when the cops were chasing you, and they would call off the pursuit, and you would get away. JPSO says that's actually what happened Wednesday night, as they were pursuing a car of three alleged shoplifters from Lakeside Shopping Center racing away from deputies on the I-610. Rank said stop. A minute or less into the chase is what we're told. And that the pursuing deputies turned off their flashing lights and backed off. Now, whether or not the woman driving this SUV knew JPSO had stopped chasing them or not, we don't know. Maybe she thought she was just outrunning them and, you know, oh, well, they're slowing down, so should I slow down? I don't know what was going through her head. But what I do know is that moments later, Jefferson Parish Sheriff's deputies getting off at St. Bernard, they say, to turn around and go back into Jefferson Parish, found that SUV they had been chasing had crashed into another vehicle. Now, two teenage girls, innocent bystanders in that other vehicle, are dead. We've also seen across the country, and to some extent locally, where the focus has had to be with smaller and smaller police staffs and fewer officers responding to calls for service, that they've had to focus on the big crimes, on the murders, on the carjackings, on the armed robberies. So across the country, we've even seen prosecutors that have stopped going after shoplifters. So the cops take forever to get there in a shoplifting call because there aren't enough cops. Prosecutors in some jurisdictions have essentially said, I'm not wasting my time and resources going after misdemeanor and sometimes even theft. I mean, even felony theft when it comes to shoplifters. So we've seen shoplifting increase. In fact, shoplifting has been one of the very few statistically increasing crimes in New Orleans amidst a huge reduction in overall crime and violent crime. So we have criminals now who think, I can shoplift, I can steal from stores, and little or nothing's going to be done about it. And if they do come after me, all I have to do is drive into a highly populated area or a busy traffic area or an area where it's unsafe for police to chase me, and they'll call off their pursuit. And I'll get away with it. Well, JPSO and state police have had more aggressive chase rules than many other departments. It's clear they're trying to send a message to criminals. You can't do that here. You can't get away with it. And whatever you've come to believe and whatever the bad guy networks and the criminal communications are telling them, they're not putting up with that crap. And it's yielded a number of arrests, but it's also led to more crashes during pursuits. We've seen it both in the city involving state police. We've seen it in Jefferson Parish now. So what do we do about this? If we don't want more teenage girls who are innocently sitting in a vehicle at a red light from being crashed into by fleeing criminals and killed, how do we stop that from happening again? And is there a good answer? I want to hear from you at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Calvin, thanks for calling. You're on WWL. What do you think?
Well, I've been listening to it, to the story, and it seems to me that y'all got something wrong there.
Wait, y'all and there. Okay, who are y'all and where are you?
I'm in La Place.
Okay, well, you live in Louisiana, and Louisiana State Police have been struggling with this issue, or have been confronting this issue.
I know. I don't condone it at all, believe me.
Don't condone what?
The girls shoplifting and fleeing. Okay? But you keep saying that they started chasing them at the parish, you know, from Lakeside through the parish line.
Yeah, they actually spotted them after they left Lakeside. An off-duty deputy spotted the vehicle that they'd put out on the radio, be on the lookout for this vehicle. Off-duty deputy spotted them, radioed it in, and then the pursuit began. It lasted less than a minute as they crossed the parish line on I-610.
That's my point. You say it lasted less than a minute, but they got off at St. Bernard Avenue. That's more than a minute. That is a lot more than a minute from the parish line.
It's exit 2, so it's 2 miles from the parish line.
St. Bernard Avenue?
Yeah, it's exit 2A, I believe.
It's Canal,
and then it's St. Bernard.
What's your
point? So do you think the police should not have chased the shoplifters at all? Or do you believe they should not have stopped chasing them?
I think they should have chased them until they got them stopped.
Regardless of the traffic conditions and regardless of anything else.
Right. They're fleeing the police. The police have to stop them. They committed a crime. Police have to stop them. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Calvin. We appreciate it. Harry, thanks for calling. You are on WWL.
I believe that the girls, the law, the judges and everything else, they let those girls out and let them out. I know we had this.
Wait, which girls? You're talking about the shoplifters?
Yeah, yes. But the judges, one of the girls had extensive records. And she kept getting out. And the judges let them out. That's what I'm saying. But beyond that, I hate to say this, because the girls need some extensive jail time. I'm going to say that. But for Jefferson Parish to say that they cut their lights off, whatever the police say, especially when it's a black person, it's the exact opposite. That goes with Ronald Green and everything. They didn't do this. They did it.
In every single case involving a black suspect, police lie. Every single case, without exception. That's what you're saying?
I didn't say you said that.
No, you just said it. You just said that. You said every case.
Basically, with those state troopers with Ronald Green, they said they didn't do this. They didn't have the cameras. They had them.
In Ronald Green's case, there is evidence that they did. They not only, some of them turned off their cameras, others of them, when they saved the footage from their cameras, intentionally, according to the investigators, saved it under the wrong date, hoping no one would ever find it, because they know they beat Ronald Green to death. But you think that's the rule, not the exception? You think in every single case, and that's what you said, not me. But let's talk about this case. Hold on, Harry, let's talk about this case. In this case.
Every single case. I did not say that. You said that.
All right, well, I'll go back when we take a break and I'll pull what you said. But let's get beyond that. In this case, what should or should not have happened?
What I'm saying in this case, the first thing that was said was that they cut their sirens and lights off. That wasn't even really that relevant. But since they made it that relevant, knowing the police, you've never been black a day in your life, so you would not know. And that's what I'm saying. They did not do that.
Listen. You can call me white all day long, okay? I don't know that how that helps in this conversation. I'm not pointing any fingers or blaming anyone. I am pointing out we have a bad situation now where criminals think they can shoplift without consequence and can flee the police without consequence because the police will stop chasing them. And as a result, when the police do chase them, we have seen more and more crashes. So what do we do now, Harry, to keep more teenage girls, innocent bystanders who have nothing to do with it, sitting in their car at a red light from being crashed into and killed by fleeing shoplifters?
It's a matter of fact that if you chase somebody, especially for a menial crime like that, in that life and death situation, something bad is going to happen to a good person. That's been proven a fact.
So you think they should not chase them?
With the way you're saying it too, but when it came out in the press that they did not do this, I said they
Harry,
did.
Harry, can you just answer my question? What should the police have chased these shoplifters or not?
Up to a point and then cut it off.
And that's what they did.
So they say. They said the same thing with Ronald Green and other people too. They did not do that. I'm pretty sure they did not do that.
All right, Harry, thank you. Harry, you're not helping. I want to talk about solutions, and you just want to talk about more problems. I'm not going to deny that there are some bad cops, that there are still some racist cops. I think there are racists, black racists, white racists, and other racists probably everywhere in our society still, in every profession, and that sucks. But I want to talk about solutions. Just race baiting and playing the race card doesn't help us in this situation. How do we keep this from happening again? How do we get to a point where criminals don't think they can steal without consequence and flee police without consequence, and then we end up in a situation where good people are killed by bad people? We'll continue the conversation after this. Jefferson Parish Sheriff Joe Lapinto is calling in now. Sheriff, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. We've been looking forward to hearing from you and hopefully getting some more answers to what happened Wednesday night. What can you tell us?
Hey, look, it's a horrible, tragic situation, but I'm not going to let deputies be blamed for other people's actions. You know, the fact of it is we keep calling them shoplifters, but that is not the case in it at all. This is actually a second-degree robbery. When three or more people go in and do these systematic, grab-and-go type things, the legislature has made it very, very clear that this is a second-degree robbery and what they did, and they'll be charged with that on our end. They took off from it. Our deputies didn't really catch up to them until on I-10 itself. The pursuit from when the lights went on in the car to when we turned them off was about a minute. And then what ends up happening is we absolutely, under state law, have the right to pursue any fleeing suspect. In Jefferson Parish, our policy is more restrictive, and we require it to be a suspected felony. In this case, it is certainly a suspected felony under the not only the value of the theft that's being stolen, but also because of the second-degree robbery.
Well, then, Sheriff, why call off the pursuit then?
Because we do that often. I mean, let's be real. You take things into consideration. In this case, they were at such a speed that the car was even already out of my officers when it was called off. You can't even see the vehicle in the dash cam when my supervisor got on the radio in order to close it off. The car was already out of sight. They turned when they got the radio call to 1082, which is on that pumping station right past Canal Boulevard. The car was already out of sight at that point in time, according to our dash cam, and the dash cam shows that the lights went off at that period of time.
So what do we do? What do we do going forward, Sheriff? And we have very little time here.
Look, we hold the people that run from police responsible. At the end, this is a set. Robbery that should be upgraded to second-degree murder and not manslaughter in the city of Orleans because they were involved in a felony, an enumerated felony, and you hold them responsible for what it is. But certainly the police are going out and do their job, and they did it correctly that day. They did everything right, and not only did they not need to chase, they chose not to chase. They chose not to suffer a liability. They didn't have to stop.
All right, Sheriff. Your phone is breaking up and we're out of time. So we're going to call you back and we'll continue this conversation with Joe Lapinto at another time. because there are so many questions, so many situations here that need to be addressed, not only in Jefferson Parish, but nationwide with these chase policies. This is WWL New Orleans, WWL FM, Kenner, New Orleans. Jefferson Parish Sheriff Joe Lapinto is calling in now. Sheriff, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. We've been looking forward to hearing from you and hopefully getting some more answers to what happened Wednesday night. What can you tell us?
Look, it's a horrible, tragic situation, but I'm not going to let deputies be blamed for other people's actions. You know, the fact of it is we keep calling them shoplifters, but that is not the case in it at all. This is actually a second-degree robbery. When three or more people go in and do these systematic, grab-and-go type things, the legislature's made it very, very clear that this is a second-degree robbery and what they did, and they'll be charged with that on our end. They took off from it. Our deputies didn't really catch up to them until on I-10 itself. The pursuit from when the lights went on in the car to when we turned them off was about a minute. And then what ends up happening is we absolutely, under state law, have the right to pursue any fleeing suspect. In Jefferson Parish, our more restrictive, and we require it to be a suspected felony. In this case, it is certainly a suspected felony under the not only the value of the theft that's being stolen, but also because of the second-degree robbery.
Well, then, Sheriff, why call off the pursuit then?
Because we do that often. I mean, let's be real. You take things into consideration. In this case, they were at such a speed that the car was even already out of my officers when it was called off. You can't even see the vehicle in the dash cam when my supervisor got on the radio in order to close it off. The car was already out of sight. They turned when they got the radio call to 1082, which is the on that pumping station right past Canal Boulevard. The car was already out of sight at that point in time, according to our dash cam. And the dash cam shows that the lights went off at that period of time.
So what do we do? What do we do going forward, Sheriff? And we have very little time here.
Look, we hold the people that run from police responsible. At the end, this is a set. Robbery that a drug that should be upgraded to second degree murder and not manslaughter in the city of Orleans because they were involved in a felony, an enumerated felony, and you hold them responsible for what it is. But certainly the police are going out and do their job, and they did it correctly that day. They did everything right. And not only did they not need to chase, they chose not to chase. They chose to chance, not to suffer a liability. They didn't have to stop.
All right, Sheriff, your phone is breaking up and we're out of time. So we're going to call you back and we'll continue this conversation with Joe Lapinto at another time because there are so many questions, so many situations here that need to be addressed, not only in Jefferson Parish, but nationwide with these chase policies. This is WWL New Orleans, WWL FM, Kenner, New Orleans.